Friedel.
This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Israeli forces are battling Palestinian militants across the Gaza Strip Sunday, including in parts of the devastated north that the Israeli military said it had cleared months ago. Israeli Defense Forces spokesman Daniel Haggerty said in recent weeks, Israel has identified attempts by Hamas to restore its military capabilities in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza, and IDF forces were working to dismantle those attempts. Health officials report 19 people were killed and dozens wounded in overnight bombardments of the area. Meanwhile, Israel has portrayed the southern Gaza city of Rafah as Hamas's last stronghold, saying Israel must invade in order to succeed in its goals of dismantling the group and returning scores of hostages. In a statement Sunday, Haggerty insisted the Israeli operation in Rafah remains limited in scope and has avoided populated areas.
Since the start of our precise operation against Hamas in Rafah, we have eliminated dozens of terrorists, exposed underground terror tunnels, and vast amounts of weapons. Prior to our operations, we urged civilians to temporarily move towards humanitarian areas and move away from the crossfire that Hamas puts them in.
Israel ordered new evacuations of Rafah Saturday, forcing tens of thousands of more people to leave as it prepared to expand its military operation deeper into what is considered Gaza's last Hamas's last refuge, in defiance of growing pressure from close ally, the United States, and others. The UN's humanitarian chief said Sunday a full-scale Israeli assault on the southern city of Rafah cannot take place, insisting that it would, saying it could not be reconciled with international law. In a statement, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk said he can see no way the latest evacuation orders, much less a full assault in an area of extremely dense presence of civilians, can be reconciled with binding agreements of international humanitarian law. This is VOA News. Officials in Afghanistan said Sunday the death toll is in the hundreds from Friday's flash floods in the northern Baghlan province, with more than 1,600 people injured. Associated Press correspondent Mimi Montgomery reports.
More than 300 people are dead after flash floods caused by unusually heavy seasonal rains in Afghanistan, according to the UN Food Agency. The World Food Program is distributing fortified biscuits to survivors of the flooding, which has mostly hit the northern province of Baghlan, as well as neighboring regions. A spokesperson for the Taliban government says all available resources are being mobilized to rescue people, transport the injured, and recover the dead. The UN says the floods are a stark reminder of Afghanistan's vulnerability to the climate crisis. I'm Mimi Montgomery.
Canadian authorities are urging all remaining residents in the northeastern part of the province of British Columbia to leave immediately, despite improving weather conditions, after thousands have already been evacuated due to a fast-growing wildfire. The blaze, which began Friday, almost doubled in size the following day, reaching about 17 square kilometers. British Columbia Wildfire Service maps showed the fire burning just a few kilometers west of Fort Nelson's city limits. Knife crimes are on the rise in England and Wales, and a string of deadly attacks in recent years has stoked public anxiety and led to calls for the government to do more. More from VOA's Tommy McNeil.
The UK's Office of National Statistics says police reported a year-on-year increase of 7% in knife-enabled crime in England and Wales in 2023. Such attacks rose 20% in London. Kitchen knife attacks were by far the most commonly used in such crimes, reflecting some of the difficulties of combating knife crimes. But a new law will take effect in September banning the sale of machetes and closing a loophole that companies have exploited to get around the sale and possession of so-called zombie knives. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Swiss singer Nemo has won the 68th Eurovision Song Contest with the song The Code, an operatic ode to the singer's journey toward embracing a non-gender identity. Nemo, whose full name is Nemo Metal, told reporters following the victory that it was meaningful.
Part of it was special, and to know that a song that has changed my life and a song where I just speak about my story has touched so many people and maybe inspired other people to stay true to their story is the most insane thing that has ever happened to me.
Nemo beat Croatia's Baby Lasagna to the title by winning the most points from a combination of national juries and viewers from around the world. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.